just these last few weeks have been really good to start opening things up again and getting things started again. And hopefully you're all getting the weekly church emails. There's a couple of them that have been going out during the week, kind of just advising of things that as they change and update. But we've also been sending out our weekly prayer sheet, and I know there's some updates to that this week. So if you are not getting that weekly prayer sheet, usually gets emailed out on Friday right now. If you're not getting that and would like to receive that, Julia, would you raise your hand there? Just see Julia after the service and give her your email address. She'll make sure that you get that and can join with us in continuing to pray for folks in our church here, as well as our community and our world, as we are aware of things that we can be praying for. Well, let's take a moment and do that, and then we're going to dive into our study of God's Word together. So let's pray once again. God, we thank you again just for a good time of being able to sing your praises, and Lord, again, for the time that we have to gather. And Lord, I pray now that you would help us to set aside anything that might distract us from what you have for us. God, help us to be singular in our focus. May our attention be on you and your word, what we can learn from it, and how we can apply it to our lives. And God, may that be to your glory too. We know that we can only live the lives that you call us to live in your strength. So Lord, we seek you in all of these things. And again, thank you for this time, in Christ's name. Amen. So don't answer this, but just ponder it for a moment. What makes you angry? All right? I know a lot of different responses potentially. Things that make you angry. I don't know, maybe waiting in lines, you know, or traffic. That's kind of like a line too. But maybe it's inattentive drivers that they're either not paying attention to where they're going, or they're just not going at all and it's green. Go ahead, you know, you can start now. Is it loud parties? Is it out of control kids in a restaurant? Is it discussing politics? So many different things, right, can make us angry. And I suppose what makes us angry can be as varied as we are as individuals. You know, what makes me angry might not make you angry, and vice versa. But right now, it seems like there's a lot of anger out there right now. A lot of anger in our society, a lot of anger in our world. And really, the anger seems to be on every side of pretty much every issue, isn't it? You've got people on all sides that are just feeling angry. Number of people are angry that it has taken so long to begin opening things up again over the COVID-19 virus. And at the same time, you've got people that are angry that we are opening up prematurely and worried about increasing numbers of sicknesses. Many people are rightfully angry over things they see in the news, rightfully angry over the manner in which George Floyd died, and other people are rightfully angry that some people assume that the actions of a few police officers indicate the attitude of every one of them. People are angry. Protesters are angry because they want to see real change. And then other people are angry because there are some who have used those protests as nothing more than an opportunity to cause mayhem and to loot stores and things. Regrettably, it seems to me like these last several years, people have gotten more and more comfortable with just giving full vent to their anger. You know, seeing there's no reason that seems that people feel they have to hold back on. If I feel angry, boy, I'm going to let everybody know it, and I'm just going to put it out there. And anybody within the blast radius, well, it's their fault for being that close, I guess, because I don't need to hold back. And they say you shouldn't bottle up your feelings, right? I'm not sure, but you find these people that are just absolutely willing to let loose on anybody that makes them angry. And you know it's true. I mean, whether you've heard somebody do it or not, all you got to do is jump on any social media site and scroll through or the comments section, you know, on anything, and you're going to find people that, from the anonymity of their own keyboard, they have no problem just saying things that you would think, wow, I wouldn't expect somebody to say that in a polite conversation. So how should we respond to all of this anger? Yeah, there's a lot of anger in our world around us, but we feel angry too. We struggle with our own feelings of anger in any number of different areas. So how can we address that? How can we address our own anger and those times when we get angry? How should we handle it? I want us to look at a few verses out of the letter of James this morning in your New Testaments, kind of towards the end of your Bible there. The man who writes the book, of course, is the man who it's named after, James. He's a half-brother of the Lord Jesus, born to Mary and Joseph. And he writes in his first chapter of the book there, he addresses our anger, and I really feel like there's some things there that he says that help us to understand our anger a bit more and also help us to understand how we should handle it. So if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles, if you're not quite there yet, you could start at the very back of your Bible, Revelation, and you're going to back up just a handful of books. You'll get through the Jude and the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the 1st and 2nd Peter, and then you'll get the James. Hebrews comes right before it there. So James chapter 1 is where I want us to be. We're just going to look at three verses kind of out of the end of James chapter 1 together this morning. And there's three things that I see coming out of these three verses. First, James invites us to make obedience our objective. He says, look, in all of this, obedience needs to be our objective. The goal is to actively obey God, and there are things that we can do to help us down the road in our obedience. Secondly, then, James calls us to basically admit that our anger can be misapplied. Yes, we get angry. It's not always about the right things. Our anger can be misapplied. There are times, certainly, there are places where anger is right and justifiable, but it's not every place that we typically bring it up. And then the final section of our passage encourages us to reject the bad and to replace it with the good. If we're going to be active in our obedience to the Lord, then we need to do more than just hear His commands. We need to allow those commands to impact the way we choose to live. So James chapter 1 and verse 19 there on the screen for you as well. James first calls us to make obedience our objective. And he gives us three commands here in this verse, which are all part of our obedience to God. So take a look as I read there. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James starts this off with kind of an attention-getting phrase in the Greek there. He says, we translate it as, this you know, or take note of this. Today we might say something like, hey, listen up. Okay? Listen up. That's what James is doing here. Listen up. What I'm about to say is really, really important. So stop what you're doing and pay attention because you need to hear this. What James first calls us to with that then is to be quick to hear. Kind of a literal funny way of saying it would be hurry up and listen. Hurry up and listen. Just be quick to hear. It's a beautiful way of capturing the idea of active listening. And James will go on to talk about being slow to speak and slow to anger, but being quick to hear involves more than just not talking. Now, sometimes we think, well, yeah, if I'm not talking, then I'm listening. Maybe. You can be not talking and not listening, too. Just ask my wife. There are times when I'm not talking and I'm not listening either when she's talking, so I work on that. But just, it involves more than not talking. It involves being ready and willing to listen. And being ready and willing to listen, that's important in relationships. That's important in our relationship with God, and that's important in our relationships with one another. How many times do we fail to listen to God? When we come to Him in prayer, and sometimes it can be just kind of our laundry list of requests that we present to the Lord, and then we say thanks and sign off. But to actually slow down and take the time to listen, rather than speaking our requests to God, we need to talk with God and allow for Him to respond. To do that, we need to slow down and listen. In our relationship with our Heavenly Father, we need to be quick to hear. But that's also a key component in our relationships with one another, isn't it? We need to be quick to hear with each other, taking the time to actively listen to one another. Maybe that's responsive listening, not just because we can do that without listening too. But reflective listening in terms of, you know, somebody says something and you respond back with kind of your summary of your understanding of what they said so that they know you're paying attention. When we actively listen to another person, we let them know certain things. Just by doing that, we let them know that they're important to us. We let them know that what they have to say is important enough to us that we want to hear and understand what it is. And you know, that should be true whether we agree with a person or not. If we're going to value that person, then we should be kind enough to try and hear and understand what it is that they have to say, even if we don't agree with them. I don't think that people are being very quick to hear right now in our society. They're being pretty slow to hear in a lot of ways. I have seen so many times where somebody will be listening to another person talk and they will listen only until they hear something they disagree with. And the moment they hear that first thing they disagree with, well, that's it. They're done listening. I have no reason to listen to this person anymore. They're a moron. They're a jerk. I can't believe they'd say that. I'm done listening to them. And they just, they kind of blow up and it all goes pear-shaped from there, doesn't it? I mean, they get angry. They get disgusted. They simply stop listening. Sometimes they start shouting. Now, of course, we should always do our best to make an effort to avoid speaking in a way that causes needless offense. You know, we can cause offense by the things we say easily enough, and sometimes we do it unintentionally because we're just not thinking about the words that are coming out of our mouth. So we need to be thoughtful about what we say, yes, but we also need to be thoughtful about how we say it. We need to speak with kindness. At the same time, however, as listeners, we need to get past this whole idea of trigger words. That, well, if I hear that word, I'm triggered and I'm instantly angry. Well, get over it. You know, the words are just words. Instead of simply reacting to a word that a person said, seek to understand their meaning. Now, it could be that that person was just as rude as they sounded, and what they meant by that word is what you interpreted the first time you heard it. Fair enough. But we need to not just react to the words a person uses. We would do well to try and understand what a person means. Quickness to hear, that plays a key role in how we respond to other people, as James will point out. Now, the other side of that same coin of being quick to hear is being slow to speak. Slowness in speaking means speaking with humility. Not just the pace of our talking, but speaking patiently. Not with hasty words or nonstop gabbing where the other person can't get a word in edgewise. Slowness indicates a pause, a hesitation, a delay before you respond to what the other person has said. It gives you time to consider what you've heard. You know, constant talking, that really prevents us from being able to hear. You can't continue to tell another person what you think and at the same time listen to what they have to say. You have to take turns. So, I mean, I don't know, it's probably silly, but my opinion was always God gave us two ears and one mouth, so that probably means we ought to be doing a lot more listening than talking. But just slow down. Be quick to hear, but slow to speak. And the third part of James' little saying here is that we should also be slow to anger. Anger is one of those things that I think kind of shuts down our brain sometimes. Closes off our thinking. At least it closes it off to God's way of doing things. When we get just twisted up in our own anger, sometimes we just don't think right. We say things, we do things that we might not do otherwise. Anger is what can arise, I think, from too much fast talking and not enough quick listening. James doesn't necessarily prohibit anger here. He just encourages us to be slow to become angry. Kind of that, develop a longer fuse, if you will, you know. Don't be so short fuse, develop a longer fuse. Be slow to become angry. And so with the concept of anger still very fresh in his mind, James uses the next verse then to encourage us to admit that our anger can be misapplied. Here James expands on being slow to anger, and he gives us the reason for it. Look at verse 20 with me. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Simple and straightforward. The anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And the anger that James is talking about here is that thoughtless, out-of-control temper that leads to rash, hateful words. It's that, you know, that somebody just blows up. They just lose it. They get angry, and they start yelling and screaming at people. That kind of anger leads to rage. It leads to wrath. That's the kind of anger that festers in us until we say or do something stupid. And we open our mouth and we let fly with the first awful thing that comes to mind, or we lash out on another person in a physical way even. God has a lot to say about the anger of mankind or the wrath of mankind. Matter of fact, there are so many different verses that talk about anger and the need that we should have to kind of work to suppress it somewhat. Matter of fact, I'm going to put a few verses up on the screen here from the book of Proverbs. Just a little sampling here, a couple of different Proverbs that speak about God's anger. So Proverbs 15, verse 1, there it is. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Ever seen the truth in that? A little tense in a relationship, talking with somebody. A gentle answer calms things down, doesn't it? Turns away that wrath. If you can kind of keep bringing the level down, it goes better. But just that one harsh word, boy, it ratchets it up to the next level. A few verses later in verse 18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. You know, when I served as a chaplain for the police department down in Burbank for those 3 years that I was with the police department, I watched officers do this routinely. They got real good at it because they're walking into crisis situations. People are angry and yelling at each other, and they just keep trying to talk them back down and talk them back down. All right, let's bring it down. You know what? Why don't you go talk to that officer over there, and you come talk to me over here, and let's try and see if we can get things settled down. Because hot temper just stirs it up. When people are so angry, it just stirs everything up. But those who can kind of keep that under control, they help to calm things down. And then the next chapter towards the end there, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. That's pretty cool. A lot of times guys look up to those fellows in the movies who go in, you know, and we're going to take the city, you know, me and two other guys, and, you know, take everybody on the wall or whatever. Hey, you know what? If you can be slow to anger, you're better than those mighty heroes that can capture an entire city. If you can keep your anger under control, you're a stronger person. There's so much more that God has to say about our anger and our need to control it. And we'll put James 1:20 back up on the screen there. The reason that we should be slow to anger is that our anger does not achieve the righteousness of God. An angry attitude is not the atmosphere in which righteousness flourishes. It's not a lot of righteousness in anger most of the time. Not to say, again, that you can't be righteously angry or justly angry, but it's just typically not the sort of attitude that God desires for us to have in an ongoing way. Anger should not be one of those places that we live constantly, because anger doesn't always promote the right things. And again, not to say that there's not a place for anger. Jesus certainly displayed a righteous anger. Those times when he went into the temple and he overturned the tables of the money changers and those who were buying and selling and doing all of those things, because they basically, it was like bringing in, you know, a weekend swap meet into the back of the sanctuary here or something like that, and they're making all this noise in a place where people were supposed to be worshiping God. And he's like, you've made this a terrible place for people to try and come and quietly worship God. Get out. He was rightly and justly angry about that. It is also right and righteous to be angry about the unjust mistreatment of other people. That is a righteous anger. But what starts as righteous anger can sometimes, we can allow that to spill over into places it shouldn't go. You see, and the problem with our anger so often is that our anger tends to be a little bit more self-righteous than just plain righteous. We get angry when somebody steps on our toes really quick. When we're mistreated, we get angry more at that than when someone else is mistreated because, well, it's about me now. But what James is talking about here is that desire to vent our anger, to let loose with those self-righteous explosions, to just blow up and let everybody have it. And we see that sort of self-righteous anger in our world on a daily basis. Car accidents caused by road rage over someone changing lanes but not leaving as much room as the other car would have preferred. And so the other person gets angry and they start swerving and trying to cut off the first person. I ran a couple of those calls as a paramedic where we had a rollover accident because one person changed lanes and cut it a little close, and the other guy was so upset that he cut off the first car and caused it to get into a rollover accident. It was just unchecked anger and rage. Nobody was hurt. Yes, it was a little inconvenient you had to hit your brakes, but nobody was hurt until he got angry and lost his temper. We see people arguing and fighting. How much did we see during the first several weeks of the shutdown with the coronavirus, the things on the news of people going to blows over the last bottle of hand sanitizer or pack of toilet paper or whatever? You ever seen people do that over a parking space around Christmas when they're shopping? You know, it's supposed to be that joyous holiday time of giving, and they're beating each other up in the parking lot because you took my parking space. Parents screaming at each other over a little kid's sporting event. It's just unchecked anger. And it comes from a lot of different places, I think. You know, we can have those feelings come from a few different places in us. Sometimes it comes from pride. Anger can come from maybe someone's feelings of superiority. Sometimes it even comes over a sense of fairness, not being, you know, things being handled fairly. I'm not going to let that person get away with that. They can't treat me that way. How dare that person think that they can say that to me and just walk away? I'm not going to let that stand. I'm going to tell them how it is. And anger just gets out of control. That sort of anger that never leads to righteous living. It never leads to behavior that glorifies God. It is a self-righteous anger, not a righteous anger. So what can we do? How do we help ourselves to avoid that type of self-righteous anger? The first thing, I think, is just to understand where our anger comes from. What kind of things are we prone to get angry about? And again, it varies for each one of us, but it helps if we have an idea for ourselves. Okay, what are the things that make me angry? You know, hopefully it's not a really, really long list, but, you know, just take some time and think it through. Ultimately, it's a result of our sin nature, right? We get angry because we're a little bit self-focused. We're sinners. We need God's grace. We need God's forgiveness. But I'm talking about understanding some of those, you know, here we use the word, the trigger points, right? Things that typically can make us angry and set us off. If we can identify some of those things beforehand and then start praying about those things and considering, okay, God, I know my blood just boils over when this happens. When my kid talks back to me like this, when my wife and I start going over this issue, when I'm at work and that guy in the next office, you know, I know those things make me angry. So, God, how can I work to control my anger more in those situations? Because I know that I have a tendency there. With family, well, things make us angry in our families, don't they? Being misunderstood by another family member, being ignored, feeling unloved, being criticized, those are all things that can cause us to get angry and have tension in our family relationships. In our workplaces, well, being slighted by somebody else, being overlooked, harassed, criticized again. With our friends, it's hard to be left out. Have some of your other friends get together to do something and you weren't invited. We can be disappointed in our friendships. We can be criticized there too, I suppose. Society, sometimes I know people are, or at least feel, singled out in unfair ways, viewed with suspicion. There's a lot of different things that contribute to us feeling angry. Now, we need to understand those things, where those things come from. But next, we need to remember what James commands in verse 19 there, that we're to be quick to hear. That's what he said. Be quick to hear. We need to take the time to listen, to be sure that we understand what the other person is saying, to be sure we understand where are they coming from in all of this. And again, people get into heated arguments so often because they just don't understand what the other person is saying. They think they've got it all figured out about halfway through the sentence, and they jump the rest of the way to their own conclusion, and boy, they get so hot and ready to go to, you know, start arguing with this person, only to find out, if they take the time, maybe it was a misunderstanding, and what was said wasn't meant that way at all. We can take things the wrong way. So being quick to hear, and as James said also, the other side is being slow to speak. Here's a tip. This one's totally free. Don't answer while the other person is still talking. Right? Just take your turn. Don't start speaking while the other person is still finishing. Let them finish. Take time to make sure you understand. Ask a question. Slowly formulate your answer and then respond. If we're constantly interrupting, if we're constantly complaining as we talk with that other person, it's not going to help the situation. It's just going to stir up more strife and anger. More likely, it will, if anything, just harden that other person in their position, and they're going to stop listening to you too. And now you've reached an impasse because now neither one of you is listening. So slow down. Be slow to speak. Be quick to hear. I think James here is counseling us to curb our desire to vent our anger. You know, to just back up the dump truck and pull that big old angry lever and dump it on somebody. Nope. Don't do that. Don't proclaim yourself as being the one who's always right. I think James would ask us to wait, to spend some time in prayer and thought before assuming that we've got it right again, as always, and everybody else is wrong again, as always. So let me tell you, because I'm obviously God's gift to humanity, I get it right all the time. Let me just tell you the way it is. Let's not go there. Again, not that righteous anger is unjustified, but a wise response, that's usually the thought of some, or the result of some careful thought and prayer. So slow down. Be slow to anger as you actively seek to obey the Lord. So because anger is not the reaction that God wants in us, James concludes this section of his letter by calling us to do something simple, at least on paper: reject the bad and replace it with the good. Reject the bad and replace it with the good. Let me read all three verses for us here, 19 through 21. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. James uses some really vivid word pictures in verse 21 to talk to us about rejecting the bad. First, he speaks of filthiness, and we all know what filthiness is. I mean, even in just a physical, you know, physical kind of a way. Maybe Saturday's your work day. Maybe you were under the car yesterday or doing something, and you know how you can get filthy doing those projects around the house, and you've got those work clothes, and they get all grungy, and they get all grimy, and they're absolutely filthy. They are stained or muddy or whatever. Here, what James is talking about is something that's even deeper. Here, he's talking more about moral filth. He's talking about those kind of stains that are on our soul. The poor choices we make in terms of our thought life, the things that we say, the things that we do, those things that the Bible rightly labels as sin, as things that are contrary to God's will for our lives, that's filthiness. Wickedness, he adds to that. That's that evil characteristic or the sin that just springs from our own bad attitude, that sin in our hearts, that we can just have wicked thoughts and we can get wicked angry with another person and let them have it. And it's not just talking about general moral evil. I mean, sometimes we have a short fuse and we react too quickly, yeah. There's other times where our anger can be a little bit more premeditated, can it? We just stew on it. That other person said something and we haven't seen them for a week, but we've been thinking about it the whole time, and boy, I just can't wait to, I have prepared the perfect response. Man, I am going to blast that person the next time I see him. Well, that's hanging on to that anger that God doesn't want us to hang on to. It's not just spontaneous rage, it's the harbored anger and bitterness towards another, that scheming on, you know, how do I get back at that other person? We need to just call it what it is. We need to see it for what it is. It's sin. When we hang on to that kind of anger, when we allow that kind of anger to just blow our top, it's sin. And we need to quit justifying it. And sometimes, well, you know what? That's just the way I am. I've just got a short temper. It's not the way you have to be. It's the way you've allowed yourself to be, maybe, but you don't have to stay there. We can all develop a longer fuse by God's grace and with God's help. So we need to reject it. And we need to put off the filthy wickedness of anger. Put it aside. Get rid of it. In its place, James encourages us to both accept and act on God's word, the good word of God which he's given us. James is talking about allowing God's word to instruct us, to teach us, that we might learn from it, to learn to live according to God's commands. And he says that we're to do that with humility. We need to be humble as we seek to live the way God calls us to live. That's the word that God has given us. The gospel message, the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that we receive by coming to him, acknowledging our sin, and asking for him to forgive us, that is good news. But that also carries with it, having received that forgiveness by faith, carries with it a need to begin to strive to live the way God calls us to, humbly and patiently. God has implanted his good word in his children. When we place our faith in Christ for salvation, God puts that good word in each one of you. And God's word helps us to identify then and remove those unacceptable things in our lives. The more that we come to understand God's word, the more sometimes it shows up like a mirror and we see, ooh, yeah, anger. I've got a little bit of that going on. And God uses his word to help us see those things in our lives, those areas of our lives that he wants to help us become more like the example we see in his son, Jesus Christ. So our right response to God and his word includes kind of the putting off that other stuff. It's getting rid of, putting aside that filthiness, that wickedness, that anger. It's putting those things off and accepting and acting on the word of God, which he has given us, which he has implanted into each one of his followers. You know, anger is not an easy thing to deal with. No two ways about it. Every one of us knows what it is to feel angry, to get angry, and it's not always easy to avoid. Somehow, though, it seems easier to express our anger than it is to avoid our anger. It heats up in us so quickly sometimes. And so in these three verses here, James encourages us to put aside unrighteous anger. Put aside unrighteous anger and pursue active obedience. That's what we need to strive for. Put aside the unrighteous anger and pursue active obedience. I think this is one of those times, one of those passages that it's healthy for us to take just a moment and to kind of do that, okay, God, give me a moment of introspection here. Help me to take an honest, good, hard look at my own life. Where I'm at right now, today, where I'm sitting, this past week maybe. How have you been angry this past week? Where have you been angry this past week? Was it on the road, feeling like nobody else knows how to drive? Was it with your spouse, tired of being nagged about the same things, tired of being dumped on in the same ways? Was it with your kids? Too much noise, too many questions, too little disobedience? Was it with someone else? Where have you struggled with your anger this week? And as you reflect on that, as uncomfortable as it is, did that anger in that moment, did it accomplish righteous ends? Did it accomplish something that God could have looked at and said, you know what? I'm so pleased with how you handled that. That is exactly what I would have wanted for you to do in that moment. Was it righteous anger, or was it self-righteous anger? More to the point, what are we going to do with what James says here? Look at the instructions that God has given us. We are to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because the anger of mankind just seldom accomplishes the righteous things that God desires. God's instructed us to take off that filthiness, that wickedness, and to act on his commands humbly. So what do we do with that? Let me encourage you, don't just brush it off. I think there's those times we can hear stuff like this and we say, yeah, I know, I need to work on it. And then as soon as we say amen and walk out, well, I got Sunday out of the way and it's on into the rest of the week, and we don't think about it anymore. There's a lot of anger in our world right now, anger in our community. Some of it's coming from the right places, some of it isn't. We need to know how to address our own anger. We need to take a good hard look at our own lives, and we need to make a choice to put aside unrighteous anger and to pursue active obedience to God. Let's pray. God, we're going to need your strength and help to do that. That's not something that I think naturally comes from within us. The natural part of us seems to find it easier to get angry than to avoid our anger or to deal rightly with our anger. So, Lord, we ask for your help with that. God, we want to honor you with our lives. So help us, Lord, to identify those areas of unrighteous anger in our lives, but more than that, God, in everything, help us to actively pursue obedience. If we're so focused on doing what honors you and is right in your eyes, we'll find we don't have as much time left to do the other things. God, I thank you for the promise of your Spirit within each one of your followers, those who put their faith in you for salvation. God, you put your Spirit in us to help us to become more and more the people you've called and created us to be. Help us to work together with you. May it be to your glory. And we thank you for your love and your patience with us. In Jesus' name, amen.